This evening we continue on in our Out of Egypt series, and particularly we are dealing with the Ten Commandments. You know, Indiana Jones has become a popular again. They ran through the initial series and said there were going to be no more, but suddenly they decided that it was a moneymaker and it was profitable, and so they brought it back. But being a fan of the original series as it once first was produced, one of the highlights from the second film was that a short round. The young boy who says to the adult Indiana, "You listen to me, you live longer." And the Bible, of course, it says it in another way, but the promise is still there. You know, the first four commandments were about our relationship with God. And we now began looking at the next six, which are about our relationship with others. And mom and dad come first. You know, people who have trouble getting along at home have problems in the rest of society. The family is the basic structure of human civilization. God ordained that the family, before He ordained any government or any church. And so as we look at this, in Exodus 20:12, it says, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live for a long time in the land the Lord your God is giving you." We notice first that it mentions here the parents. Honor your father and your mother. You owe your very existence to your mom and dad. You had nothing to do with who they would be. You know, you didn't get a vote on it. You didn't visit a parent's store and then choose them. You know, your parents likely had hang-ups of their own and they weren't perfect. You know, some of us, of course, have to put a little positive spin on our family tree because they aren't all that perfect, you know. And it reminds me of the two high school boys who tried to honor their dad on Father's Day by putting together for him a book on their family history. And so as they was going through and researching this, the problem was that their Uncle George had been executed some years earlier. And so the oldest boy said, no problem. So this is what they wrote in the book. They said, "Uncle George was selected to occupy the chair of applied electronics at an important government institution. And he was attached to his position by the strongest of forces. And his death came as a real shock. You couldn't choose your parents, but they didn't choose you either. God gave you to them. And the only exception is those, of course, who have been adopted. And adoption is a beautiful thing. If you're adopted, you never need to feel like you're a second class. Rather, you get to feel that you were chosen. You know, the pro-abortion crowd, a chance that it's better aborted than adopted. And that's just utter foolishness. And I would take exception to that claim. But either way, no child is here by accident. And all are really were chosen by God, just as He adopts us into His family. You know, it doesn't matter who your parents were or what they were like, this commandment is to obey them. And when you were conceived, God was there. You know, the value of a child is not dependent upon the circumstances in which that child was conceived. Psalm 139:14-16 says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." A child is a precious gift. And parents, we have three awesome responsibilities to our kids. The first is our physical care. You know, we guard them and we meet their needs, and in love we sacrifice if it comes to that. And I'll never understand a deadbeat dad who doesn't take responsibility. You know, 10-year-old Johnny laid a paper on the table for his mother, and it was a bill that said, "Wash the car, $5. And took out the trash, $5. Clean my room, $5, total of $15. And the next day, his mom left a bill on the table for Johnny, which said, "Wash your clothes 520 times, $2,600. 16,950 meals, $85,000. Sat up at night when sick many times, $5,000. Gave birth to you." No amount sounds right. Total amount owed, "I love you." You know, kids, let your parents help you. You will have many big decisions to make, and you have their experience to draw from, but your parents have much had much experience. They've learned much, and they've made some decisions along the way that can be beneficial to you. Doesn't stand to reason that God wants you to listen to them and work with them. You know, Proverbs 4:1 says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father and intend to know understanding." Proverbs 1:8 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother." Now, a second thing as parents we're responsible for is their emotional care. We need to provide them a strong foundational platform on which they build the rest of their life. You know, a child is a clean slate that comes to us. And what we engrave on them early will shape their values for the rest of their lives. And if you tell a kid he's no good, then sooner or later he'll prove you right. No, we are to love them and lead them, and one day we have to let them go. There is their spiritual care then, the third thing. The first concept of God for a child they get from their parents. Do you understand that? The first concept that a child gets about God comes from their parents. You are a skylight through which your kids get the first glimpse of God. What an awesome responsibility. May we never forget that that's a primary responsibility for our kids' spiritual development lies in our homes. No man is a failure who teaches his children to follow God. You may not be able to buy them expensive toys. You may not be able to get them the finest car or the best clothes, but you can give them the most important gift. And it's free. You know, the world looked at Noah like he was a failure, but when all it came down to it, his family was all alive on the ark. So we look at the parents. Let's look at the precepts here. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." And Colossians 3, 20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Honor. Honor your father and your mother, you know, to hold in high esteem, to give way to. What they say means something to you. The first way to honor your parents is to obey them. We will answer to others, but the way that we learn to respond to authority is by the way that we obey our parents. The way we respond to our parents is the way that we will respond to other authority figures. No teacher or boss or police officer will have their respect or obedience until the parents have it. So look at the list of the vile sinners that's mentioned in Romans, the first chapter. "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents." Isn't that interesting? Disobedient child is listed here with murderers and hateful fornicators because a disobedient child will one day become such if something doesn't change. Absalom rebelled against his parents. Can you see the clashing of swords that he and his followers revolted against his father David? And can you see him riding away on a mule with his hair flowing in the wind as an outer symbol of his inward rebellion? You know, and as he passed under the tree, his hair was caught in the branches. And he hung there as General Joab rode up, and he put 3 sharp spears through the black, dark, ugly, rebellious heart of Absalom. It's an everlasting memorial what God thinks about those who rebel against their parents. Now, we live in the age of grace, but back then under the law, they disciplined their children differently. When rebels developed and raised their ugly heads, parents took them to the elders, and they actually had a rock concert in their honor. They actually stoned them to death. You know, I'm not condoning that, but biblical discipline is real as ever, and all kids still have the built-in place to make an application. The Board of Education applied directly to the seat of knowledge. You know, I think back to my childhood, and I have to make a confession here. I had a drug problem. When I disobeyed, I got drugged to the woodshed. And it's true, we can all learn from books and from teachers, but the most primary learning is the learning of pain. It's a primal motivator. Somehow my parents knew that there is a direct line of communication from my gluteus maximus and my cerebral cortex. You know, God spoke wisdom to Solomon, not Dr. Spock or Dr. Phil. And if you spare the rod, you spoil your child and you hate your child. Now, children normally go through 4 stages. First, they idolize their parents. That's a fun stage when they think that you can't do anything wrong. But just wait, because then they demonize their parents. And somehow their brains fall right out their ears, and their parents become their enemies. And they are the cause of all the problems, even high gas prices. And they can't do anything right. But then they work through that stage, and then they learn to utilize their parents. You know, they get smart and they start complimenting their parents, and then they ask them for the car keys. And then they humanize their parents. They realize that they aren't good or evil, just people, that they have strength and weaknesses just like us. Let me say something about elderly parents. You know, there's a role reversal that happens eventually, and we need to be patient with our kids today, because the patience that we used with our kids will be the patience that someday we'll want them to use on us. When the Bible says to provide for your own household, we usually apply that to kids, but in its context, it's actually talking about parents. Children are supposed to be the real Social Security program. And I have so much respect for those who take care of their parents. Now, it's one thing for them to have a medical necessity for nursing care, but it's another thing when kids cast them off and they don't even visit them anymore. And that's one of the shames. If you can go into any nursing home and ask them, and they will tell you that so many of them, if it wasn't for church organizations and people like that coming in, they would have no visit at all. Relatives do not come and see the great bulk of the people that are in nursing homes. What a shame. I understand parents want to remain independent as long as they can. That's good. And I can appreciate that. But now, here's a note to my kids. When I'm old, I'm coming to live with you. And when I do, it's payback time. I'm going to play the music real loud to the windows rattle. And I'm going to eat everything that slows down. And I won't be able to get anything for myself. And I'm going to drink milk right from the jug. And I'm going to whine and complain when I don't get my way. So, we've done the parents, the precepts, and the promise now. And look at the verse. It says, so that you may live for a long time in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The primary interpretation here is that God was telling Israel that they could remain in Cain in the promised land longer if they would honor their parents. But there's a second application here as well. If you honor your parents, they will help develop habits and choices in your life that will tend to make you happier and that you live longer. If you go your own way, you're inviting circumstances which will tend to shorten your life and make you miserable. You know, so just because someone dies prematurely, of course, doesn't mean that they disobeyed their parents. Excuse me, because those things do happen. But the promise is there that if we will obey them, our lives will be so much better. When your parents tell you not to drink, they aren't trying to spoil your fun. They're trying to save your life. If they give you driving rules, they aren't trying to show their power. They're trying to save your life. If they give you dating rules, they're trying to save you from something, of course. Children are to honor, but parents need to live honorably. Now, let me tell you a story. On November 12, 1934, a baby was born to a 16-year-old Kathleen Maddox. The baby was entered into the record book as No Name Maddox. He was abused. He was left alone for days on end. In 1939, the mom was arrested for armed robbery. And when she got out of jail, her son was 8. And his life was brutal. His mom went from one lover to the next. And at the age of 12, he was sent to a boys' home in Indiana. He ran away after 10 months. He searched for his mother and he found her, but she rejected him. At age 13, he was convicted of armed robbery himself. And at 16, he had a long criminal record. He was sent to federal prison, where he was raped. At age 17, he put a razor to the throat of the cellmate and sodomized him. While in prison, he became obsessed with the occult. And at age 33, he was released from prison against his own wishes. It was the only home that he had ever known. And so upon release, he began a reign of terror in California, slaughtering people in cold blood. You know him as Charles Manson. And one day, he was somebody's plump little baby. He was a clean slate. He wanted love and training. But when that didn't happen, of course, he became a monster. This is such an important one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live for a long time in the land the Lord your God is giving you. God help us all to live honorable lives.